Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journal, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible girl too. Greetings and salutations. I'm glad to welcome you to today's podcast, where we're going to continue our slowing down series and talk today about having a slow day. This is something that has taken on a new meaning to me recently, and certainly has worked in my life in a very profound way in the past few months. And I'm happy to talk to you about a subject we've tackled before on the podcast. I did a podcast on the concept of Sabbath, and I have to say that God's been really changing my heart about it since I did that podcast. I think I was a little more on the fence about whether it was really required and whether it was something that we could even do in our culture today. But God's been really challenging me through some experiences that I've had and through some things I've been reading and studying, and even in my own practice, as I've been willing to craft a very specific Sabbath practice, I am finding that there is more to it than I had at first believed or assumed. So I'm happy to tackle this again. This is one of the great things about the Christian life and how God works in our hearts. He gives us a little bit of knowledge, and over time he begins to work into us, and he helps to change our heart about things. And this is very encouraging to me because it means that we're not stuck in ruts and patterns that don't work for us, but that God can continually take us a little bit farther along the journey and peel off a few more layers of something. And he's certainly always faithful to teach us the things that we need at any season of our life. And that kind of is a good way to start talking about this, because for me personally, the season of life that I was in last summer and fall, was preparing to leave on sabbatical. So I had a lot of extra work I was doing to get everything ready so that I could step away for 6 weeks. And as I worked on these things and made some goals, I wanted to come up with a sabbatical plan of what I was planning to do and how that would work. And one of the big questions I wanted to answer was, how can I sustain full-time service for Christ, working full-time in ministry over the long haul? I've done this for 11 years now, 11 and a half years. And there are times that it's great joy, and there are times that it's quite exhausting. And as anyone in any kind of job where they're actually serving others, especially others in church settings, would tell you, there's a real blurriness between personal life and work life, and that's a bit of a struggle. And I was tired and overwhelmed with a lot of things going on. And just after it had been nearly 11 years last fall, I began to think that maybe I needed to change a few things if I was going to have any longevity in this job and being able to serve. So one of the questions I had is what do I need to do differently going forward? And this was an area of great confusion for me at first, as God began to push my thinking toward taking a literal Sabbath day, and how that would work itself out, and a little bit about that began to kind of stir my heart a bit. And I liked the idea of it, but the execution of it seemed very difficult. And over time, God began to work in my heart. And I have a few things I want to talk to you today about Sabbath and how important it is for all of us as believers. And I want to start out here and just say, I'm going to define what I mean by Sabbath. Okay, so first of all, we're talking about a 24-hour period of time to stop working and find rest in God. People will say to me, well, can't I just take a few hours Sabbath? And sure, you can do that. But that's not technically Sabbath. Sabbath is a full day of 24 hours. And I think that that needs to be the goal. I think that there is certainly a lot of scriptural precedent for it. We're going to get into some things about that. But I really do believe that it needs to be a day. And it can be any day. We'll get to that in a second as well. But I do think that it needs to be a full 24 hours of time. And during that time, what we do is we stop working and we start resting. And specifically, we find our rest in God. We turn to Him for that day. Sabbath is a rhythm that is built into all of life. And I want you to think about for just a moment, just the rhythm of the seasons, how there are seasons that things are growing and seasons where there is not much action, things are dying off. There are seasons of resting, dormancy, and there are seasons of great life and vitality. A rhythmic part of our lives, the world around us operates on a rhythm. The tides come in and they go back out again. There's a rhythm and a flow to them. When God gave His commands to the Israelites when they came into the promised land in the book of Joshua, God gave them some really specific commands for once they took that land, what they were to do there. And one of them is that they were to let the land sit for a year, every 7 years. They could work the land and grow crops for 6 of those years, but on the 7th year, it needed to rest. And what God was teaching them was the value of we can't keep pushing and expecting results and being productive all the time without a period to be still, to rest, and to replenish. God built that into the fabric, not just in the Sabbath by commanding them on the in the Ten Commandments to take a day and set it apart as holy for the Lord, but also through everything else that they were to do. He was teaching them about the rhythms of rest and renewal and work and hustle. And so it is a rhythm. A Sabbath is a rhythm that is built into all of life in ways that we probably don't realize. The Sabbath is also a holy day. In Genesis chapter 2, and this was one of the things that interested me a lot, is reading through the creation story and seeing God create and then take that 7th day. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, it says that God called that 7th day holy because that was the day that He stopped working. And he said, it was good and it's finished now, and now I can rest. And it isn't so much a rest as in God was exhausted, but a rest as in I can take satisfaction in a job finished and I'm done. And so as he did that, he said that that day was holy. And as I begin to read that, I realize that this is long before we were given a command, or the Jewish people were given a command to take a Sabbath day, that God declared that that 7th day was a holy day. And I don't believe that that's changed. I think there is that day of rest that is holy and set apart for God. It is a command, yes. It is a command to the Jewish people. And I believe also that Jesus gives us some precedent in the New Testament in Mark chapter 2, where He talks a bit about the purpose of the Sabbath and why it was created. You know, when Jesus came on the scene, He spent much of the Gospels. If you read through the Gospels, you'll see he's ushering in something new. He's come to bring in a new kingdom. You'll hear Him say things like, you have heard it said, meaning, and oftentimes He's quoting the law or specific rules or regulations that they followed. And He would say, but I say, and He would take that and He would twist it just slightly. Because when Jesus dies on the cross, He is ushering in a new era, and He is fulfilling His death, fulfills all the commands of the law. But that doesn't mean that we can do anything we want to do. Now we are chosen by God to live a holy life for God. And so while we are not required anymore to fulfill the law, the principles that were behind those are the ways that we need to live our life. And so in Mark chapter 2, one of Jesus' disciples on the Sabbath day was walking past a field of grain, and he leaned out and he took his hand and he pulled some of the pieces off of the stalk and began to eat them. And he just kind of plucked the grains. I don't know if he was maybe just chewing on it or scattering it around, or maybe he pulled off a stalk and was putting it in his teeth or something going on there. But the Pharisees noticed this and they said, you know, why are your disciples doing things that aren't lawful on the Sabbath? Okay, so to walk past a field of grain, reach out and grab a piece off of it was unlawful by this point in the hundreds and hundreds of laws that the Pharisees had added on to the original commandments of God. And Jesus says to them something very profound in verse 27, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." We were not created with this idea that we have to obey the Sabbath as it's something that has to be satisfied. Instead, the Sabbath was made for us. In a sense, what he's saying is the Sabbath is a gift. Don't turn it into something complicated and hard to do, but still observe it. Just realize that it's a gift to you. And I think that if God wanted us to abdicate the idea of a Sabbath once Jesus comes along, that he would be a little different in his approach to this. But he still affirms the Sabbath. He just clarifies the meaning, why it was given in the first place. It was given for us. It is not something that's supposed to be hard or rigorous. It is not something that is supposed to be incredibly regimented. It is a gift to us because of the rhythm of life is based on work and rest. God has ensured a way in which we can incorporate real, true, soul-deep rest into our lives. He has given us that as a gift. We need the Sabbath. We need it because we need one day a week where we can rest from performance and hustle. You know, hustle is a big word right now. If you look around on productivity blogs and all kinds of stuff on Pinterest and Instagram, you see all these quotes about hustle, and hustle's a big thing. Get out there and work hard and get the job done. And I'm not against hustle. I think our country was founded on hustle, certainly. And that is something that is programmed into the DNA, I think, of Americans, to hustle. But on the other hand, I feel like it's become a buzzword to just push us a little harder and push us a little more without realizing that there are great limitations that we face. We need the rest from performance and hustle because we cannot be people who are productive every moment of the day. We weren't created for that. Even God himself took a rest from production. And I want you to let that sink in for just a second, because we walk around as if we don't need it, or that's a great idea and I'd love to take it, but I'm just too busy. But the God of the universe, who keeps the world spinning, who controls everything in this universe, could create something so massively beautiful and complex and step back and look at it and say, that's enough. It's time to stop. If he does that, how much greater do we? Because Sabbath is a reminder to us that only God has no limits. He is the only created, we are only the created beings of him. We are not God ourselves. We have been created with this rhythm in our lives that requires us to rest. We have limits. There are only so many people that you can talk to on a given day. There's only so many needs you can meet in a week. There are only so many loads of laundry that can be done up and down the stairs, putting it away, breaking it down to the laundry room before you collapse. There's only so much work that can be done before our bodies need rest. But we go without that. We think that we can just keep handling it. We think those 5 hours of sleep at night are enough. Or we think there'll be a time later when we can rest. But God, the one who formed everything and holds it all together, as Colossians tells us, understands the value of stopping, of letting something be good enough, looking at it and saying, it is good, I can stop now. We have limits, he does not. And we need to be reminded of that, because if we don't keep that forefront in our minds, we will live our lives as if we don't. And it will cause us great peril. We need a Sabbath because we need the replenishment of our resources. There's nothing that exists forever. When I was a child, one of my favorite Bible stories was the widow's oil, when Elisha, at this point I forget which one, came to visit a widow and her son. And it was during, it must have been Elijah, during the drought and the famine. And there was such a simpleness to her life. He wanted a meal, and she said, well, you know, I have enough here for my son and I, and that's all. And after I make this, that's the last food we have, and we're going to die. And it was just said very simply, and it wasn't an overwrought plea for help or anything like that. She just very simply stated the truth. And he said, well, if you go ahead and make me a cake. And so she does. She makes something for him. And she finds that she can continue to make and make and make, and the oil never runs out. And that's a great story. I thought that was the coolest thing, because God can make things go. God can make what you have be enough, and he can continue to provide when you need it. And that was a perfect lesson. But I think we run as if our lives are like that. Like God's going to constantly give us the energy, even though we do nothing to replenish it on our own. And it doesn't work that way. We were created as limited human beings who need to protect and take care of the resources that we've been given. And we need to build replenishment back into our lives in all sorts of ways. And one of the biggest ways that we do that is through Sabbath. We allow that one day to replenish what's drained out the previous 6 days. We need Sabbath because we need to work with those rhythms of life to avoid burnout and illness. It has been said, I've read this in several books that I read last fall that talked about the Sabbath, that if we don't choose to willingly take a Sabbath, that God often puts us in a position where we have no choice. He puts us in bed with an illness or sick with the flu or sitting by the bedside of a family member who is ill. Whatever it takes, God allows those things to come in our lives because he knows that we need the rest desperately. And if we're not going to take it, then he will allow circumstances to force us to take it. And I know that's been true in my own life. I want to read you a story in the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro. I would encourage you to read the book. The entire book is excellent. But in his section on Sabbath, he writes, "The story is told of a wagon train of Christians traveling on their way from St. Louis to Oregon. They observed the habit of stopping for the Sabbath during the autumn. But as winter approached, the group began to panic and fear they would not reach their destination before the snows began. A number of members of the group proposed they quit the practice of stopping for the Sabbath and travel 7 days a week. This caused an argument in the community until it was finally decided to divide the wagon train into two groups. One group would observe the Sabbath as before and not travel. The other would press on. Which group arrived in Oregon first? Of course, the ones who kept the Sabbath. Both the people and their horses were so rested by their Sabbath observance, they could travel much more efficiently the other 6 days. When I trust God and obey his commands, he provides. Jesus takes our loaves and fishes that we offer him, even though they are insufficient to feed the multitudes, and somehow miraculously and invisibly multiplies them. We can trust him enough to stop. We need to do this because we need replenishment. We need this reminder that we are limited, and we need to put aside our performance and our rushing around and our hustle, and just simply allow us to be in God's presence and in the presence of those that we love, and just enjoy them and enjoy life. And to take that day, and I want to give you a couple of tips. Now, I kind of did these as questions, so and I'm going to be sharing a little bit about how I've been practicing Sabbath. So one of the questions that I get asked sometimes is when should I practice the Sabbath? You know, does it need to be Saturday or Sunday? Traditionally, the Jewish Sabbath begins at sundown on Friday and goes until sundown on Saturday. Christian tradition is always considered Sunday, the Sabbath day. I think whatever you choose is fine, or even any other day of the week, as long as it works for you or your family and you can be consistent about it. I don't think that necessarily it needs to be a specific day. Once again, it was made for us. It's a gift. We don't need to contort and conform ourselves into something that doesn't fit. I do believe that it needs to be a full day, and I do think that it needs to be consistent. I think that just grabbing a few hours here and there and calling it Sabbath is not really honoring the spirit of what it is. You might be setting aside a few hours and feeling like that's enough, but really the whole spirit of this is letting your work go for a day. It is trusting that you can stop even though everything isn't perfect in the way you want it, because you know that God is still working when you're not. And God is still in charge of the world, and we can let it continue to spin on in his care. So whatever day you choose to make that be would work for you. I will say for me, Sunday doesn't work because it's a work day, and it's often a very stressful work day. I love the summer because we change our hours, we combine our services, and we just have one service. So Sunday's a shorter day, and I get to do more fun things on Sunday. But through most of the rest of the year, it's a very long day for me. I get up very early, and I'm usually at church until early afternoon, mid-afternoon, depending on the day, you know, on what's going on that day. And so it can be quite a stressful, long day. And it certainly is not a day of rest at all. So for me, I have to do something different. I have tried Saturday. It wasn't very good because it was the only other day of the week that I could spend time with a lot of my family and friends who work through the week. And if I was working on Sunday and I was trying to Sabbath on Saturday, it made it difficult for me. So that didn't work either. Currently, it's Friday. I work Monday through Thursday, Sunday through Thursday, and then I take Friday as my Sabbath day. And that has worked well for me, and I have been able to do that since I came back from sabbatical. I have been very intentional about carving out a Sabbath on Friday. There have been a few times here or there, and once again, I think a little flexibility, understanding that, you know, life is going to happen. Some weeks it's just not going to happen. But the more consistent you can be, the more benefit you'll receive from it. And so there have been days here or there. I was at the hospital with my mom on several Sabbaths earlier this year, and just different things have happened, and you kind of have to just go with the flow, understanding that it was a gift to us, not something that was intended to make our lives more complicated. What constitutes work or rest? Whenever I talk about Sabbath, someone will say, can I do this on the Sabbath, or can I do that on the Sabbath? When Jesus gave that guideline in Mark 2, that clarification on the Sabbath. I think that it was incredibly helpful for us in answering this question. It was a gift to us. We aren't trying to cram something, our lives into something that isn't helpful. So the best way for me to explain it to you and for you to understand how to choose the kinds of things that you would do in the Sabbath is to ask yourself, is this action life-giving to my soul or life-draining to my soul? And this is where there's a lot of freedom. I'll give you a little example. Something that I love so much to do is to bake. I don't enjoy cooking. I find it very frustrating, and I often will make something and barely, you know, it's barely tolerable, but I love to bake. And baking is one of those things I do when I'm stressed out because I like, it calms me down. There's something about the measuring and the leveling of the flour and the sifting and the stirring and just watching and the smells that are in your house when you're baking oatmeal cookies or pumpkin bread or a coconut cake. There's just something about that smell. It's just so comfortable. And I love baking. It is something that is incredibly life-giving for me, not just because I like the process of it, which I do, but also because that's one of the ways that I show my people that I love them. I will bake something or take a cake to somebody, or I like to, my brother and his family live next door, and I love to make a batch of something and take half back to them. It's a way that I show love. That is very life-giving to me. So often on my Sabbath, I will make something fancy for breakfast. I'll bake a coffee cake or some fresh blueberry muffins or try a new scone recipe. Often I include baking. But I know other people that hate that. And they're not bakers. They don't enjoy baking. They don't bake well. They would prefer to go to a bakery and buy their baked goods. So for them, it would be draining. And that wouldn't be an enjoyable thing to do on the Sabbath day. I hope that helps you see the distinction. There are things in your life that build into your soul, that bring you a spirit of calm and rest, that feed and fuel your passion for life. Those are the things that you should incorporate into your Sabbath. And the things that drain you, that are complicated and difficult, the things that are work, whether they're something, you know, even something as fun as baking, which I think is really fun, is work for some people. So find those things that feel like work and delegate them to the other 6 days. You have 6 whole days out of the week to do the things that drain you dry, that suck the life out of you. For that one day, take one day a week and say, everything I'm going to do in this day is going to fulfill my spirit and bring life to my soul. I hope that sounds compelling to you, because it does to me. In fact, every time I think about the Sabbath, as I become more disciplined in practicing it, I find that I look forward to it all week, and I can work late on the nights that a big project unexpectedly takes longer than I thought, or when I have to go visit someone at the hospital or sit, fill in for somebody and do something last minute I wasn't planning on doing. I handle those things so much better, because I'm not trying to carve out 20 minutes to myself here and there throughout my week. But I know that when Friday comes around, not only can I be present in my own life, but I can be present and involved in the lives of the people that I love, because I've set aside that day for the things that bring me life. And I can willingly participate in all of those things that take the life from me as I serve, as I give, as I love the difficult people, as I speak, as I talk, as I write. All of those things, that productivity, that constant movement and forward momentum that's so important for life. I know that I can take a break one day. I can just stop and I can be Jessica. And I can spend time doing the things that give Jessica life, and that add into me. And I think we all need that. Allow your Sabbath to be comprised only of things that bring life to the deepest part of you, and save the things that drain you for the other 6 days of the week. So when it comes to asking what I can and can't do, that's the best way to approach it. But I also want to give you some things, some ideas, some words that will help you think of some things that you can include. I would say that your Sabbath should be a mix of four things. And I don't specifically do all four things every Sabbath, but these are things I frequently build into my Sabbath. One of them is rest, and I mean physical rest. That means sleeping in or taking a nap or going to bed early. That means climbing up in the hammock in the backyard or finding a sunny spot with a picnic chair and just kind of resting for 20 minutes and closing your eyes in the sunshine. It might mean crawling into bed. It might mean curling up in a big comfy chair on a cold wintry day with a couple of blankets and just drifting off to sleep. It means physical rest. It means stopping your work. It also means resting your brain and your spirit. Don't think about all the things you have to do. Don't worry about things. Don't waste your time and your energy ruminating on all the things that are wrong or the things you can't solve. Rest from your labors, yes, but rest from your worries and your cares. Leave them in God's hands. He's the only one that can fix them anyway. Just sit them aside and leave them. And in that day, just rest, all of you, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Another thing is play. You should play. What do you enjoy doing? What's fun? Do you like to do crafts or Bible journaling? Are you artistic? Do you like to paint or make pottery? Do you enjoy playing board games, or do you like playing tennis? To me, tennis is one of the least life-giving things because it's very frustrating to me. But some people just love sports and love to be active and outside. And do you like to read? That sounds more like me. Maybe you want to sit down and read a book from beginning to end. That is honestly one of the things I get the most excited about on sabbatical, is when I have a book that I've been waiting for it and I've been waiting for it and it's coming out, and you know, the author might post a picture of the cover and in 6 months it's going to be out, and then finally that day arrives and I sit it on my, if I've ordered the book copy, I sit it down there on my nightstand and I know that on Sabbath, I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to open it up to the prologue and I'm going to read all the way through to the epilogue in one sitting. That's a lot of play for me. What about you? What do you like to do? What is fun to you? Incorporate play. This is the opportunity for you to try new things, learn things, just do something that just for the sheer joy of doing it. And enjoy those things, and not just alone, but with others, with your people, with your family. What can you do together? Also, another thing would be reflection. And I think this is where we really need to incorporate this regularly, not just reflection as in, you know, what's been going well in my life, not that kind of reflection, but more a reflection of on God and how He's been active and present in your life. I think certainly a discipline to cultivate in your Sabbath time is gratefulness and gratitude, thanking God for the gift of the Sabbath and the other good gifts that He's given you throughout the week that's just passed. As you look forward to another week ahead, the Sabbath is kind of your hinge from one period of time to the next. And so thank God for how He's blessed you and for what He will be doing in those days ahead. Reflection, stopping to realize that God has a plan and that He's active and He's working in your life and you can see His hand and that He is with you, He is for you. Those things are things that we can focus on without the rush of and pace of productivity. We can actually rest and bask in God's approval and His love for us. And then lastly, I think celebration. I think you should celebrate. Celebrate the good things that God has done for you and your family. Maybe you have a nice dinner together on Sabbath, and you all go around the table and share a highlight from the week and something that God did for you. Celebrate that. Maybe it's just celebrating the week that's passed and that you've survived. Maybe it's a different kind of celebration. Maybe you're celebrating an event, or you just want to celebrate a relationship or a friendship. Just lots of different things that you can be celebrating, recognizing once again, if we look at Sabbath as a gift, it reminds us of the fact that God, He is a very generous Father, and He gives us so many good things. And can we celebrate those? Can we set aside in this day that we've set aside to find our rest in Him? Can we acknowledge those good gifts, and can we celebrate them in His presence and with our people? I think that the Sabbath is one of those things that it's really easy to say, it's hard to do. And it is. It's going to require some things of you. I wrote down a few things because I think it's going to require you to be comfortable being a radical. Sabbath is a radical idea in our culture today. And I'm going to be really blunt here and say it's a radical idea in Christian circles. Even churches are guilty of this. We might preach Sabbath and we might promote it, but boy, we sure do fill up your Sundays with activities. We aren't any better, I don't believe, at promoting a Sabbath and really doing the hard, disciplined work of having a Sabbath. And so as a result, it's going to mean you will be a radical if you're willing to invest in this. It also means you're going to have to make some very courageous decisions. You're going to have to say no to things. And I'd like to just remind you of something my mother reminds me of frequently. No is a declarative sentence with a period. It does not require any additional words. People ask and they want to do something, and we try to give a little excuse and we mumble our way through it because really, honestly, taking a whole day seems selfish. And so we kind of try to cloak it in something else, and we wishy-washy about how we do it, and they push back, and before long we feel like we're being bullied or badgered, and so we just give in because it's easier. And I get that. I do. You're going to have to make some courageous decisions. If you believe that this is something that God has called us to do, as I do, then you're going to have to sometimes say no. When you say no, you get to say yes to a lot of good things, but you're also going to say no to some good things too. And you're going to need to be courageous to make that happen. To be able to stop your work and seek rest means that you're going to have to say no to the never-ending pace of life. And guess what? Life is going to keep moving on without you. You're going to experience a little FOMO. The fear of missing out. Life is going to keep moving at that pace because it doesn't stop. So when you stop, it might feel like you're getting left behind. One of the things that I have tried to do during my Sabbath is to keep in mind that I don't want to march to the pace of to the pacemakers of the world around me. So I often don't really use my clock too much. I tend to eat when I'm hungry. If I'm hungry, I go make a sandwich. I don't really get too hung up on what time to eat or what time to do this or that. I don't rely too much on the pace setters that the world gives to us. That means there's no Fitbit. I take my step counter bracelet off, and when I go to bed on Thursday night, and I don't put it back on until Saturday morning. I don't want to count steps. I don't want to keep pace with something. I don't want to push myself to do those things. I don't want to get too caught up in following the guidelines and regulations and pace of the world around me. I also don't count carbs that day. I normally would count my carbs and check my blood sugar. I don't do that. I trust that on this one day that God will take care of me. And I believe there's something to be said for resting in all of our labors. And that's something that can cause stress. That's something that can make me feel like I'm constantly trying to meet expectations. This is a day to set expectations aside. And so I eat the food I like on my Sabbath day, and I don't check my blood sugar, and I don't count carbs. And I enjoy the good gifts of God's creation in the foods that I eat and the company that I have for meals. And I just put aside those pace setters that I'm trying to keep pace with for the rest of the week. I don't check email. I don't respond to a lot of texting, and I don't shop. All of those things that the world says define us and that keep us on pace with everyone else, that keep us up to date and moving forward, I let those things go. And so if you're going to do that, if you're going to keep an eye on your own internal needs and set the external pace setters aside, you're going to have to be really disciplined. It's going to require a kind of discipline that seems very unnatural to you, because we're not that good at listening to our own hearts, because the world around us seems so much louder. And the pace of life seems so natural because everyone's doing it. Everyone's marching at this pace. So you're going to be a radical if you're going to change and do something different. I don't have a lot of easy answers when it comes to Sabbath. It's not one of those things I can ease you into. You just have to choose it. You have to make the decision that this is valuable, that I believe that this is important, that this rhythm of rest and work and rest and work and production and replenishment that God has built into the fabric of the universe applies to you too. You have to make that decision. You have to acknowledge it. And then you have to put the steps in place to make it happen. You have to make the courageous decisions. You have to say the hard no. You have to choose to be a radical. You have to stop, which is so different in our culture today, and follow a different pace setter. Follow God as your pace setter and not the world. I'd love to hear your thoughts about this as you struggle with Sabbath and being able to give aside a day of your week to God. I'm going to post a comment section on our Facebook group if you would like to participate and just put in your thoughts about Sabbath and how you've been able to incorporate that in your life and some of the struggles that you have. And if you have any specific questions about Sabbath keeping, you can put those in the comments as well, and I would be happy to answer your questions as I'm able to. I pray that God blesses your week. We're going to finish up our series on slowing down next week as we talk about walking slowly through trouble. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, download show notes, sign up for my newsletter, print the monthly scripture writing lists, and listen to past episodes. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to get the latest podcast news and to interact with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's J-E-S-S-I-L Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.